Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
It's 8:50 and time for our first look at the commodity markets for this Friday morning with our pre-opening report. Here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. This morning, USDA released its export sales report for the week ending February 14th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 3.7, next year, 5.1. Corn this year, 44.9, next year, 1.4. And soybeans this year, 23.2. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers for the opening bell at the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. Midwest cash hog markets today are expected to be mostly steady in a quieter market as trading winds down for the weekend. Terminals are called steady to a dollar lower with tops from $37 to $41. Peoria is called steady today with a top price of $37. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, February 21st, negotiated swine purchases were 12,832. For the base market hog, on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $46.50 to $59. The weighted average, $55.98, a loss of 25 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $36.70 to $46.50. The weighted average, $43.93. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 17,519. The base price range, $47 to $63. The weighted average, $59.64, a loss of 26 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $36.06 to $46. The weighted average, $43.44. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. There have been no big changes in the South American forecast today, and that means that Western Argentina, favorably moist for the next couple weeks, supporting good crop development potential. Net drying in southern Brazil, southern Paraguay, Uruguay, and eastern Argentina will be closely monitored for the risk of possible crop stress development. If it does occur, probably not occurring until the first week of March. Late season soybeans will be the most risk crop in the area, and that due to any late season dryness issues. Meanwhile, northern Brazil is still expecting another pounding of rain late this weekend and early next week, and that will set back field work and also threaten crop quality there. Other countries, no significant changes in China's rapeseed crop is anticipated during the next 10 days. Additional rain this weekend will help to assure a good start to the new crop growth when seasonal warming begins next month. And in South Africa, rain is needed in most of the Western Free State, where some crop moisture stress is starting to evolve. Some relief from dryness is expected in both states at one time or another. That'd be Free State, the Western Free State, and Limpopo. So they need some rain there during the next couple weeks. Rain in early March, possibly favoring the western dry areas. Australia, they're still in pretty good shape across the area. Early sorghum harvest likely will be delayed by a little bit of rain early next week. Otherwise, harvest will continue favorably there. Meanwhile, rain will continue to support a good environment for late sorghum and cotton filling and maturation across Australia. On the U.S. continent, we have more drought easing rain, not a drought buster, but more rain for the southeastern states. And the latest U.S. drought monitor has the most intense drought areas, considered exceptional drought, from the northeast corner of Alabama in through northern Georgia, and then picks up again in the southern or the northern portion of South Carolina and a good portion of Central Carolina, still considered to be an exceptional drought. The next step down, a little bit better conditions, still extreme drought surrounding that. And they've had repeated rain and will continue to see some rain across that area over the weekend. It will fall, although some strong thunderstorms may also occur. Further to the north of that, freezing rain, sleet, and snow may start to cause more travel and electrical disruptions from the Ohio River Valley and through the mid-Atlantic and northeastern states. Heavy snow most likely across southern New England. Significant ice accumulations expected in the northern mid-Atlantic region. The National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook for the end of February and start of March calls for colder than normal weather across the eastern half of the nation, except for near normal temperatures in southern Florida and then in the northeast. Meanwhile, above normal temperatures will prevail in the west. Mostly dry weather is expected from California to the Mississippi River, and that will contrast to near to above normal precipitation for the eastern one-third of the U.S. and across the Pacific Northwest. And just quickly looking at some of the livestock situations, again, starting to ease off some of the extreme cold, but freezing rain, sleet, and snow will continue in the eastern and southern Midwest today, and that will cause some travel delays and a little more stress on livestock. Improving weather is expected this weekend as a warming trend starts to get underway. Muddy field lots will remain a concern for extended period of time in most of the area east of the plains, where the ground remains saturated. Next significant storm system to impact livestock and, well, all others will start to push across the northern plains over the weekend, moving into the Midwest on Monday and Tuesday. Snow and rain changing to snow will accompany a new surge of colder air, strong winds, falling temperatures, and snow accumulations. Anywhere up to around 7 inches will occur across the upper Midwest. Snowfall on the northern plains generally looking at a 1 to 3 inch, and lower the Midwest situation we'll see similar accumulations. Most of the central and southern plains will miss out on the significant precipitation from that event. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, March wheat in Kansas City opened at 10.85 and three quarters, up 1 1/4. Last trade up 8. At the Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 10.34 and a quarter, up 4 3/4. Last trade up 2 1/4. July, 9.69, unchanged. Last trade up 1/2. December, 9.83 and three quarters, up 3/4. Last trade up 6. March corn opened at 5.24, down 1/2. Last trade down 3/4. July, 5.48 and 3/4, down 3/4. Last trade down 1. December, 5.52 and 1/2, down 1/2. Last trade down 1. March beans opened at 14.08 and a quarter, up 2 1/2. Last trade up 3 1/2. July, 14.39, down 1/2. Last trade up 1 1/2. November, 13.78, down 1/2. Last trade up 3. March soybean meal opened at 3.59.40, up $1. Last trade down 40. March soybean oil opened at 61.42, up 11. Last trade was up 34. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group out of West Bend, Wisconsin. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
Well, we had export sales reports this morning because of the presidential holiday on Monday. Pretty good numbers for corn?
Oh, excellent numbers for corn. I mean, we were well above what the expectations were. And so I think what it just says is that with the weakness in the American dollar, we continue to see big demand for our grains.
Does corn consolidate, though, today, even with this good number?
Well, I think corn's going to. I think all the markets are going to consolidate on the grain side today, primarily because you've got people who remember that last year today was the day that we put in the high, and so I think you're going to have people. We had people who exited yesterday, taking some profits home, just going to sit back and wait. But in reality, at least from my perspective, I don't see this acreage fight being done with beans at 1381, and December corn at 552, and so. I expect that it'll probably be mixed today, and when the reality comes past that maybe we haven't put the highs in yet, we'll see people back in the market again. We had the index funds put in over $2 billion this past week, and that certainly has an impact in the market too, but I think you have to look at the fact that exports continue to be strong.
So what technical or other indications will lead you to believe that the acreage fight then is about over?
Well, I think corn in itself has been kind of back and forth lately, kind of doggy in some respects, because we had some of those rumors running around about ethanol. What do I expect to see? I guess when I think that the fight's going to be over, at least for in my particular case, when I look at technicals, I look at the Bollinger Bands, and when I look at the Bollinger Band, we have not closed. We've traded below, but we have not closed below the low Bollinger Band in the life of this contract on corn. If we close below the low Bollinger Band, then I have to believe that there's some security on the part of the trade that we actually now know where we're going to go.
And what number would that be on a give us an idea on a futures contract?
Right now in December corn, that's at 512. So if we would close below 512, and then the 50-day moving average sits just 12 cents below there at $5. If we close below the 50-day, we definitely have seen something change in this marketplace.
Thank you much, Jackie. See you at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on March 4th for our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. Registration begins at 8:15 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 7:15 a.m. Central. We thank the Andersons, Cargill, and Archer Daniels Midland Company for their support. You're listening to WILL Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.